Gentlemen, welcome to the No Cash, No Code podcast. Have you recovered from game week 31? I haven't. This is going to be a weird one. So Tom and I will walk you through what happened. It was the biggest week of the No Cash, No Code Cup, so we're going to give that all the time that it deserves, and we'll go through the usual weekly awards. I mean, it's fresh in the memory. It only just happened, but what happened? Well, what happened? First game of the week was Newcastle versus Everton, and Isak continued to do what he's now calling Isak things. Nottingham Forest 3, Fulham 1, no goal for the highly owned Munez. Plenty of goals for midfielders that you thought had probably retired from football, but actually turned out to be at Nottingham Forest. Bournemouth 1, Crystal Palace 0. A game where those that free hit in 29 got all of the clean sheets that they'd been hoping for. Burnley 1, Wolves 1. Where an Itanori went early in the scoring in the game week and looked like he was really going to dictate how the week was going to go. West Ham 1, Spurs 1, anti-climax for all of those that were holding on to Spurs assets, and yet again Bowen ticking away. Then we got into the next day of fixtures. Arsenal 2, Luton 0 in a boringly, wonderfully professional game of football by Arsenal. And also the start of the real carnage. Players not playing. No sign of Saka. A Kiyor that was suddenly not used in the squad. And that was the tone for, well, what was my Thursday morning. Because we then had Manchester City 4, Aston Villa 1, no KDB. Captaincy's gone awry all over the league. Brentford 0, Brighton 0 in a surprising clean sheet that not many people had the chance to benefit from. And then we got into, I mean, is this the craziest week? Craziest midweek, definitely, of FPL. If you were in the cup, you were out of the cup. If you were out of the cup, you were in the cup. As predicted, Liverpool beat Sheffield United. As predicted, it was plus 2.5 goals. As not predicted by anybody, no sign of Salah. Captaincy's in the bin again. And then the final game of the week. What a game of the week. Is it finished now, that game? Chelsea 4, Man United 3. We had a Foden hat-trick in the Man City game. Cold Palmer said, hold my cold beer. Did the very same thing himself. Two hat-tricks in the same game week. Listener, I've been playing FPL for a very long time. I cannot remember two highly owned hat-tricks in the same week. And they were highly owned. Or were they? Let's get into the awards. So let's start with pick of the week. Interesting one this week. There were a couple of names that jumped off the page straight away for their high scores, only to find they had not actually played. So people like Jeremy owns Hudson-Odoi 7, last on his bench. There are two Flecken owners, that's Bob and Freddie, but both of them started Neto, who got a clean sheet anyway. There's a Zuma owner, Mick. Again, not selected to play this week. So I was really struggling looking for the single point game week, because I did think maybe a Palmer captainer was going to win it this year week, because it was a tough week to decide the captain, and those who went Palmer clearly won. So that's Jeff, Yanis and Colin. But is a captain good enough? And when it's all three of them that have picked him, probably not. So then I went with other high scorers. You've got Odegaard, but Odegaard's now owned by Hugo Gordon-Lennox. That was where I was looking first. But so is Yanis, Colin, Tom Kane and Bradley. We've got other alternative captain, actually, there. I missed that one. Jeremy's gone with Luis Diaz, which is a fantastic shout. Another single point scorer that was rarely owned, Andy Fisk. His name's going up a lot, isn't it? Fisky is the only person to have Wood. That's 8 points for Wood. Three goals in three game weeks. Surely he'll be in more teams. But the winner? Well, I actually named the winner last week. The winner for pick of the week this week was given a shout out last week for what was going to be a potential pick of the week winner. Tom Everett, he's still the only McAllister owner, but this time McAllister got a double-digit haul, and that was enough to give him pick of the week. So, team of the week. Obviously, there are some big scores. There's a couple of names you need to have in there to be in that score in that group. But yes, so firstly, there's Yanis. Did Yanis miss the deadline? No transfer this week, but did do a transfer last week. He's got a midfield of Odegaard, Palmer and Foden, so that's a massive 86 points. Not good enough for team of the week. Finally, it's time to talk about Jeff Brown. Jeff has deserved so much airtime for so long, while everyone was taking point hits this week to try and squeeze in one more, two more, as many Liverpool assets as possible. Jeff, very famously, is not taking that approach. No Liverpool for him. That gave him enough room for Palmer, Foden, and he had the double Arsenal defence. Team of the week? With just that? Well, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. He'd gone with the Haaland captain. Haaland was the no-show. He had the vice on Palmer, didn't he? So a massive point score from his captain skyrocketed Jeff Brown. 87 points. And he is now sixth in no cash, no code. He is smashing his brother. He is 136k in the world. To put that into context, listener, Jeff has been as no cash, no code as no cash, no code gets. If the season ended today, 136k would be his best ever season. The season that comes closest to that is way back in 2010. So this is all-time form for Jeff Brown, who I swear is spending less time doing fantasy football than ever before. So, wow, what does that say? So congratulations, Jeff. Do you hear that, listeners? That's Colin. That's Colin throwing his phone across the room. Colin, I mean, I'm not sure, listener, if it's okay for the other listener to do this, but he sent the text, and I quote, "Pod me up," with a screenshot of his team. Now, I think I might have lied earlier. I gave Tom Everett, pick of the week for his McAllister. That's a nice pick. But the real pick for pick of the week was picking Palmer for captain. Now, as I said, Jeff had Palmer captain, but that was an accident. That was because Haaland didn't show. Yanis had Palmer captain, but I think he probably missed the deadline. I think it's a hangover from the previous week. So there's a strong chance that Colin is the only person to have actually chosen to give Palmer the captaincy. And for that reason, he should have got pick of the week, but I can't prove it with there being three of them. And besides, he doesn't need it because he's team of the week. 95 points. Finally, Robertson gives us some contribution for 4, Saliba 7, Foden, Odegaard, Palmer captain, Bowen. Nicely done there, Colin. A game week rank of 56k is never to be sniffed at. Whilst we're talking about people on decent form, Nevin pulls out his wild card. I haven't spoken about him enough this year, so I just wanted to point out he is now in the top 10. He's climbing up the table, 67 points, slight red arrow, but a tiny one with 67. His wild card obviously was very successful there. The Palmer-Foden combination that he needed also got Son and Salah, and the right towards defender in Ethan Nouri. Another wild carder was Tom Kane, not quite as successful. He's down in 16th. Did what he needed to get Salah into the team. The non-starters of Saka and Haaland obviously hurt him, but he did have Darwin Nunez. He's got the wrong Wolves defender there in Semedo, but he's also got Sarabia, so he's gone quite heavy on Wolves overall. So those were only two wild cards of the game week. Now, enough with the niceties, shall we? Let's get into where it hurts. Firstly, the obvious. The second most transferred out player in no cash, no code, after Watkins, who was injured obviously, was Foden. So that's Cavi and that's Bradley. Two lower middle managers. When you're down there, trust me, these things wait. Oh, no. There's two more managers. Damien and Harry also took out Foden this week. But it doesn't really stop there. While it should be, let's point and laugh at the mistake of taking out the hat-trick hero, it's clearly not just about their teams. In fact, the aforementioned Nevin, Jeff Brown and Jamie Cork are the only three in the what is now the no cash, no code top 10 to earn Foden. Cracking week for Jamie. Didn't get a mention there for team of the week, but with the Garnacho, the other midfielder who's obviously highly owned and highly scoring this week, Palmer and Foden, he is storming up the table. Called him out as being the last place that had a chance of winning the title. He's up to fifth just one day later. Now, back on the hurt trail. I didn't think there'd be much hurt on benches with the amount of players that were sat unexpectedly. There's a couple of points there for the wrong keeper selected, but already mentioned the other keeper started, got the clean sheet. Hudson-Odoi's not really enough. I already knew where the hurt award was going to go. really early on in this game week. Just how it was going to be applied was the only question. Again, in all my years of playing FPL, has a player ever got a minus one without actually playing? Obviously, managers get the yellow card without being on the pitch, but a goalkeeper getting a yellow card without getting a single minute? Take a bow, Turner. This is unprecedented territory. But even more so, for that to happen inside your team when Ned, Phil, Rob Brooke all got the minus one, all with a slightly different story, one of them is going to have to get the award. So how is it going to work out? Well, firstly, there's Ned. Ned couldn't be bothered to switch out Areola. Understandable. Fair play as a decision. So he went in there with no goalkeeper. Now, going in with no goalkeeper and coming out with a minus one, it's not ideal. Rob, he's been doing that for a while. He's been going with no goalkeeper since game week 29. He's been rocking the Trafford Turner double, even though he's well aware for 3-4 game weeks in a row that is equaled 0 points. So again, it's like your defender playing against Liverpool and getting you 1 point instead of two. You're not shocked. You thought you're getting 0 points from goalkeepers, you got a minus one. You're not shocked. Phil Pemberton must be shocked. He's decided enough of this goalkeeper nonsense. There's no clean sheets to be had. The cheap rotation's not working. They get benched half the time anyway or get injured. He decided to spend the money. In came Edison. Except Edison didn't come in. Edison was one of the big high-profile no-shows. He had a knock from the previous week and we'd seen Ortega against Arsenal, but Phil still took the plunge, obviously thought he knew better, brought in Edison just to watch the highly expensive goalkeeper not play a single minute and Turner come off the bench and give him the minus one instead. That has got to hurt. Now, on to some more pain, maybe? Let's hear from Tom Maxwell after this break of what was a scintillating round, a memorable stage of the No Cash, No Code Cup.
Anyone who has felt over the past few years that the magic of the FA Cup has been lost will have had their cockles warmed by the feast of cup action put on by No Cash, No Code this weekend. There were upsets galore, so let's have a quick run through of the games and see who has made it through to the next round. First game, Nevin versus Bob. Nevin's wild card enough to get him past Bob's 51 points, a 12-point victory for Nevin, who is through to the next round. Dylan versus Michael, the first of many upsets. Michael scored 63 points from 19th place, more than good enough to put 5th place Dylan to the sword. Elijah against George Johnson. George Johnson comes again in the cup. This tie was far from a classic, a low-scoring affair. Elijah's 24 points easily covered by George's 49. And then the Battle of the Toms, myself versus Tom Everett. And this one came down to Everett's vice-captaincy pick of Isak, who came on, took the armband from Haaland. His points saw Evs get up to 63, and despite Garnacho's best efforts, I could only reach 56, including my minus four. A huge upset. With 34th place taking down 3rd place, but not the biggest of the week. More to come on that. Bradley versus Jay, another low-scoring affair. Bradley had taken hits for 2 weeks in a row and couldn't make up the difference, losing to Jay by 15 points. Colin versus Will Brox. Colin's colossal 91 points, including a minus four from last week, was more than enough. Hell of a week from Colin, helped by his Palmer captaincy. So Colin through there. First place, Damien, taken down. The top seed is out. The league leader is out, thanks to Jeremy's monster 81-point haul. Another huge upset. Again, not the biggest of the week. Stephen versus Nick. Stephen became the highest seed left in the competition with a 14-point win over Nick Mick. Stephen in fourth place in No Cash, No Code and going strong. Ned against Andy. a tight affair, but Ned coming out just on top between two teams sitting in the mid-table. Freddie versus Ali, a historic battle that went right down to the wire. Ali's Darwin captaincy over Freddie's Salah looked to be enough, but Garnacho's two goals and two bonus points gave Freddie the chance to draw level late on and secure him a replay, a historic replay, which will be played next weekend as per my email. And then what will go down as the biggest cup set of no cash, no code history. Second place Harry on an absolute tear this year, having the season of his life beaten by last placed, 37th placed Noel, mainly thanks to some bench points. Eight Nori coming off his bench after Haaland and Lascelles didn't play. Noel's only transfers since game week 15 were his wild card in game week 30, specifically played to compete in the cup. I believe he thought he was out, so didn't make any changes again this week. Don't think he even looked at his team, which left Saka on his bench. Clearly, that didn't come back to bite him. But his decision to reappear justified after taking the tie by 7 points, beating a man 35 places above him in the league. Netflix have already been in touch with Andre and I to commission the documentary of this historic event due to be shown on your screens next season. Ed versus the commissioner himself. Well, the commissioner gets through despite two minus four hits in back-to-back weeks, despite his doom and gloom. Maybe his season isn't over. Cavi against Hugo. Hugo's continues a remarkable season that saw him hit the giddy heights of the top 10 before returning to his usual spot in the bottom 10. But he's always up for the cup, and an impressive 79 points was plenty to make it through against Cavi. Steve versus Yanis. Remove the two captains and Steve wins this by 3 points, and instead he loses by 33 points thanks to Cole Palmer's continued brilliance. 40 points in the final game of the week, including two goals in injury time, gets Yanis to an impressive 86 points and through to the next round. Jeff Brown beat Kinder. Jeff's season gets better and better. 87 points this week, helped in no small part by Haaland not playing and his captain's armband being passed over to Cole Palmer. Best to be lucky than good for sure, but Jeff is now up to sixth place in no cash, no code and through to the next round of the cup. And finally, Tom Kane against Jamie. Jamie overcame Tom in one of the few battles played between two players in the top half of the league. Jamie's 81 points, including his minus four, enough to take him to the brink of the top 100k in the world for the first time this season and up to fifth in no cash, no code and equally through in the cup. So, remarkably, that leaves us with eight players from the top half and eight from the bottom half in the draw for the final round of the 16. The draw was made this evening, and I can reveal the games now, which will be played next weekend, starting 13th of April in game week 23. We have got Hugo Gordon-Lennox versus Michael. We have Yanis against Stephen. We have Jeff Brown playing against the winner of the replayed match between Ali and Fred. Noel, back once again, bottom place in the league, will take on Jeremy. George Johnson will play against Jay. Nevin will play against Ned. Jamie will take on Tom Everett. And Andre will play Colin, 27th against 29th. That is the closest game in terms of league positions. So those are your ties. We'll ping them through in an email. Let's hope that the round of 16 can be anything like as exciting as the round of 32.